Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've been heavy on the NBA playoffs so far on the show today, mixed in a little NFL. So good to mix in a little baseball right here. A lot of early season storylines to get into with my next guest, who is an MLB staff writer for CBSSports.com. You can find him on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson. On Twitter, RJ Anderson joining me on CBS Sports Radio. RJ, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. I guess I'll start off with a question. I'm on CBSSports.com right now, and the biggest, literally the biggest headline font size on the baseball portion of the website, are the Angels for real? I guess I'll start with that question for you, especially as someone here, me, who lives in Houston, who all of a sudden has the Astros looking up at the Angels in the standings. It's early, but are the Angels for real?
Well, I think they're for real in the sense that they're a good team and they're going to be competitive all season long with regards to the playoff hunt. That said, I do have some reservations about the Angels, you know, winning the American League West or finishing ahead of the Astros, because I have a lot of concerns about the health of their pitching staff. You know, they already had three different starters hit the DL this season. That includes J.C. Ramirez, who has been a pleasant surprise for them over the last 2 years. Well, he underwent Tommy John surgery and he won't be back this year. And, you know, the rest of the rotation, you have questions about Garrett Richards. You have questions about, you know, Skaggs and Heaney. And you also have Shohei Ohtani, who was in his first MLB season. They broke him in kind of easy here by, you know, basically making him the designated Sunday starter, using the six-man rotation. You know, they're doing everything they can to make this transition easier on him. But you just don't know how his body is going to react to a full season of starts all the same. And it's possible, you know, even he misses time. You know, pitchers break. No one knows which ones are more likely to break than others. And, you know, the Angels, their rotation is full of guys who have broke before. And, you know, if you look at the studies that Russell Carlson, of Baseball Prospectus has done, the best predictor of a future arm injury is a past arm injury. So my reservations about the rotation are the reason why I think the Angels are probably not up to par with the Astros, even if they've been very impressive in the early going.
RJ, obviously prefacing anything about Ohtani with we're 1/10 of the way into his rookie season. But just a couple of Ohtani questions. First, what do you think about the way that Mike Scioscia has handled Ohtani so far, and how do you see that evolving over time?
Those are great questions. And I think whatever plan they had entering the season, it's been executed better than I think they expected. You know, he has been fantastic both on the mound and at the plate, and that's a credit to him and a credit to the coaching staff and everyone else involved there. So far as how it evolved, that's a great question. You know, Ohtani came out this week and said he would like to play more often. I don't know if Scioscia is going to grant his wish, but I know that he moved him up in the batting order, which is probably a good sign. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach it. You know, right now he's playing like the all-world player he was hyped to be, you know, like the all-world player that scouts thought he could become, and it's just fun to watch, right? He's probably the funnest ball player in baseball right now, and it's something we've never really seen before, so it's an enjoyable experience, and I just hope that he stays healthy and that they continue to give him the opportunity to express his talent at the plate and on the mound as often as possible.
And so this is, just to play off of what you just said, this is a purely hypothetical one, but if, you know, if it did come down to him having to do or getting to only do one or the other, which would you make him, a position player or, I guess, a hitter or a starting pitcher?
Well, scouts before he signed with the Angels thought he was a much stronger pitcher. And, you know, part of that has to do with the fact that, you know, pitchers, you can kind of see what they have no matter who they're facing, whereas hitters, so much of hitting is reactionary. And Ohtani had never seen, you know, big league breaking ball. He'd never seen big league velocity and so on and so forth. So, you know, maybe you can say that he is, you know, going to outperform the expectations that were assigned to him, which was, you know, one of the comparisons thrown out there to him as a hitter, for instance, was Curtis Granderson, which is a pretty good hitter. But, you know, on the pitching side, there were comparisons to Justin Verlander, which, you know, Verlander should be a Hall of Famer someday. So if I were picking one or the other, I think I would keep him a pitcher, but that's the beauty of him. You know, right now the Angels have no reason to pick one or the other. And whatever talk we had a few weeks ago about you know, maybe the Angels letting him try hitting for a little while, and if he failed, giving them an excuse to say, hey, let's just focus on pitching. It's what you do best. It's how you're going to help this ball club the most. You know, all that conversation's kind of faded pretty quickly. So I don't think they're going to be picking between those two anytime soon. But if I had to make the choice right now, I would definitely say that I would make him a pitcher.
RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. RJ, you have an article up, went up on Friday. Derek Jeter won't attend the Marlins-Yankees series, which of course starts this week, starts tomorrow, I believe, citing potential for, quote, awkward situation. What is your reaction to the news that Derek Jeter will not head to New York to attend this series?
Well, I think it was a smart call on his part. You know, I get it from his perspective. You don't want to go into a place to where you were worshipped for, you know, two decades as the enemy. And, you know, I don't think Yankee fans consider the Miami Marlins a real threat or anything, but still, he would be the owner of the opposition, and that's going to create some awkwardness there. And, you know, plus you have, you know, if you're Derek Jeter and you're going to a game that features Giancarlo Stanton, you're going to face a lot of questions and a lot of heckles about Giancarlo Stanton and that trade. So, you know, from his perspective, I get it totally. From our perspective, I mean, you know, how often do we even care if a minority owner is attending his team's road games? This would not be an issue if it weren't Derek Jeter. So, you know, I get it from his point of view, and I get it because of our point of view. So it makes perfect sense to me, even if it does make for a little bit of a funny story.
Yeah, well, and just in the segment before you came on, I was just talking about Jeter, a little bit about this story, but also just in general about, I don't know that I've ever seen a player who handled his business both on and off the field as a player better than Derek Jeter. And now in this role of Marlins minority owner, it seems like every move, everything that's been touched has turned to stone in his first few months as owner. How much blame does Derek Jeter deserve for how things have gone since his ownership group took over?
That's a good question, and I don't know how to answer that because I feel like he's really been the public face of this ownership group, but I don't think he's necessarily the one dictating all this. You know, we have to remember that Bruce Sherman is the majority owner of the Miami Marlins now, and my guess is that Sherman is the one who is, you know, sort of the catalyst of making some of these cost-cutting maneuvers and the catalyst of fielding a team that's frankly, you know, the worst in baseball in terms of talent level. And so I think Jeter is, you know, getting a lot of the flames, but I'm pretty certain that his criticism to actual input and actual power ratio is off the charts here in the wrong direction. I think he's probably more than likely just being the face of the franchise, being the fall guy right now, you know, and, you know, maybe he's also in a unfortunate role, but it's the one he chose. And so, you know, I think he's probably getting a little bit of a raw deal because I don't think he's the one behind all this. But at the same time, he agreed to this raw deal. So I guess that's the best way I can answer that is my guess is that, you know, it's not really him pulling all the strings, but he's certainly the face of the operation.
Yeah, he's probably like, man, life was so much easier when all I did was play baseball and bang supermodels. It was just so much easier back in the day. RJ Anderson joining me on CBS Sports Radio talking some Major League Baseball. So, RJ, I wake up this morning, I look at the National League standings, and the first place teams in each of the divisions were the Mets, the Pirates, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just like we all drew it up on the chalkboard the way we all drew it up before the season started. If you had to buy stock in one of those three teams that are leading those divisions right now, who would it be in and why?
So of the three, I would say the Pirates are the one I would buy the least stock in. Of the other two, they both come with caveats because the Mets, I was on them as potentially making the postseason from the start, but I always, you know, couch that with if they stay healthy. And right now, they're mostly healthy beyond the catcher position. I don't know how healthy they're going to stay. You know, we can kind of go back to the conversation we had about the Angels, where basically every arm has had some kind of issue in the past, and that makes me a little hesitant to think they're going to continue to be of great health all season long. However, I would buy stock in them more so than the Diamondbacks because the Diamondbacks are dealing with their own injury issues. And, you know, the Diamondbacks, I don't know, I feel like the Mets probably have a slightly more talented roster than the Diamondbacks. And usually when I'm, you know, doing a coin toss or whatever, I go with a team that has more talent. So my answer would be the Mets. And, you know, with regards to the Pirates, I just think they're the least talented of those three teams. And I expected them to be around the 75 to 80 win threshold when all is said and done. I'm a little surprised they played so well, but at the same time, I'm just not ready to buy in, and I think the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals are clearly better, and I think in time you'll see those three teams rise above the Pirates.
What are your thoughts on the Astros at this early point in the season?
They have been, I mean, their rotation's been ridiculous. I found a stat yesterday that, you know, yesterday's Charlie Morton outing was their fifth start this season in which their pitcher had recorded 10-plus strikeouts. Well, the rest of the league entered the weekend with only one other team having at least two of those games, and that was the Washington Nationals. So that gives you an idea of how they're just striking out the world. You know, it's a very good team. They're the world champions. I think they're going to win the American League West. It wouldn't surprise me if they finish with the best record in the American League, and it wouldn't surprise me if they end up, you know, repeating as American League champions. It's a loaded team. They have more help on the way in, you know, Kyle Tucker and Forrest Whitley once he returns from suspension. They have a chance to get better, as scary as it is. So, yeah, that's a very, very good team, and I expect them to win the American League West and go far in the postseason.
Oh, what's crazy about that stat you brought up is that Gerrit Cole has three of those games that you're talking about. He hasn't had a game yet. So he looks rehabilitated right now. He looks like the Gerrit Cole from 2015. What does it say about A.J. Hinch and Brent Strom, the pitching coach? These guys, even Verlander said last year when he got to Houston that, boy, I had access to things that I didn't have access to before in the way of data and coaching and things like that. But what does it say when guys like Cole and Morton and Verlander that have come in from other organizations all of a sudden are pitching their best baseball?
Well, Brent Strom was highly regarded during his days as a pitching coach with the Cardinals organization, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, he knows what he's doing. And, yes, the Astros are very into analytics and very into stuff like spin rate and whatnot. And, you know, their signature thumbprint right now is having pitchers throw more breaking stuff and fewer fastballs. And if you look at some of the data out there on Cole, he's followed that blueprint. I know Matt Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus just wrote an article last week about Cole has also improved the spin rate on his fastball, which is not something you typically see. But, you know, you add that into the equation, and not only is he throwing, you know, his really good breaking balls more often, he's also throwing in an improved fastball from the spin perspective, and that's a very tough combination and hit. And yeah, it's remarkable that you see guys like Cole and Verlander and Morton, who, you know, they're not exactly youngsters. They all been around, especially Verlander and Morton. I think they're both over 30 years old. If Morton's not over 30 at this point, then
they're both 33 or 34. Yeah.
Okay, otherwise Charlie Morton is Benjamin Button, because there's no way he's been around this long and he's not over 30. But yeah, it speaks to the quality of coaching there and the quality of analysis they do in the front office and their ability to not only do that analysis but passing on to the coaching staff and turn that into workable results and turn that into things that the pitchers can actually embrace and adjust to and make the most of. So, everything's turning out gold for the Astros the past couple years.
Yeah, it's been a fun time to be an Astro fan, no question about that. RJ Anderson, at @R_J_Anderson on Twitter is where you can find him. CBSSports.com is where you can find all of his great work. RJ, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Keep up the great work. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you. Anytime, man.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.